to Marvel.
Yeah. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. This is your boy and your host, COVID Cliff. Welcome into the show. Week one is in the books. It's official. What a crazy week. Yes, I did have COVID in an absolute... I got the... Whatever the bad one is, I got the bad one. The COVID where I can't do anything. Feels like it got into a car accident. I still can't smell or taste anything, which is the worst part psychologically. I really just don't feel like eating. I mean, I'm like moping around, like tell my wife I'm starving, but what's the point? You know, I'm like rocking back and forth, like just there's no point of eating anything that's tasteful. I feel like I lost some weight, which is great, but not the natural way. You don't want to lose weight like this. But we are at about 90%. I'm feeling much better. Happy to do this podcast. Today was actually, I think my first morning with coffee in like 6 days. So I feel juiced up. It's 6:30 in the morning. I'm in my office at work. Couldn't wait to talk fantasy football, even though I was on the losing effort. But goodness, we're going to get into all that, all the matchups in our segment of studs and duds. Wanted to talk real quick about last night's game. If you didn't see it, for all those that went to bed early, Josh, just a weird game. Broncos, Seahawks, game was in Seattle. Russell Wilson, you know, he didn't look great. Let's just say that. Geno Smith outplayed him. But if you had Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, those guys both fumbled at the 1 yard line. The game would have looked much different. The Broncos would have won, but they both fumbled at the one on separate occasions, just completely coughing up the ball. At the very end of the game, Russ does bring them back where the Seahawks are up one and the Broncos have the ball. So the Broncos are driving. They got plenty of time, plenty of timeouts, and they get it, you know, I think right around the 45-yard mark, maybe 47, something like that. So if you can picture this scenario, there's 20 seconds left in the game. It's 3rd and 5. So you're thinking, okay, it's definitely four down territory here. So they go, I think they run. They don't get it, and they finally call a timeout. So it's 4th and 5. You just brought Russell Wilson onto your team if you're the Denver Broncos. You're paying him a crap load of money. It's 4th and 5 with 20 seconds to go in Seattle. WWE could not write a better script than this. Give Russell Wilson the ball and say, go get me 5 yards, get this first down. We still got 2 timeouts. We can win this game. Well, what do they do instead? They elect to go for the second longest field goal in league history. A 64-yard attempt that missed. It was long enough, but it did miss. So just a real head scratcher from the Denver Broncos, just playing scared. Oh, you know, I think we can hit this instead of letting Russ do his thing out there. I mean, why did you bring him in if you're not going to let him go out and get you 5 yards? So that was just one boneheaded thing I saw this past weekend. It just so happened to be late last night. So, but it did close out the games for this week. We are going to be going over our new power rankings. I'm going to keep these up to date. This is going to be the rest of season power ranking. So after this, we'll get into the studs and duds and our matchups. But we'll start off at position number 12 in our power rankings. It's going to be Juan Torres, Falcons. So our Mr. Lemonade from last year finding himself at the bottom of the barrel, or I should say at the bottom of the juice container, at number 12. Number 11 is going to be Joe Chick, the Book of Samuel. Number 10 is going to be ChristianMingle.com, Gage Aziz. Number 9 is going to be Bathroom Hand Jobs, Mike Corrado. Number 8 is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit. Number 7 is going to be Jason Kelly, Yeeter Skeeters. Number six, which would be a playoff spot. So that's where these positions become important. Number six in the power rankings is going to be Trophy Wife. So, you know, Trophy Wife took the loss. However, she finds herself in that top six. Number five is going to be the BV Bar Wenches. Number four, a new name here for the fantasy football season, Dawson Knox's Creek, Josh Benoit. He's going to be number four. Number three, Alicia. I think she fell from number one at the preseason polls. She's going to be number three. Number two, Juan Large Lemonade, please. Elliot Schiavelli. And at the number one spot in the power rankings, beginning of week two, is going to be none other than Pillar of Fire, Tom Beggs, the rookie of the league. My goodness, he's coming in swinging. And he's got a great team. So, again, I'll keep up with these all week. You know, each and every week, let you know what the advanced stats are on your teams. Excuse me as I just absolutely choke up all my coffee. Again, it's been a while since I had coffee and running at about 90%. So, my voice sounds different or I'm sniffing a lot. You just gotta get through it. Those are going to be fun to look at all year long. This app I have is really cool. I'm not going to really tell you what it is. I don't think it gives me a competitive advantage. But if it does, if I can find a way, then I want to keep it to myself. But it's really cool. It does break down each and every one of your teams at by position and lets you know what you're ranked by position. For instance, at the running back position, I'm dead last in the league, which I had a zero RB build, so that makes a lot of sense, but I didn't do a good job covering that running back position in the zero RB build. And for instance, my flex, I'm the number one flex team in the league because I have all those wide receivers, but pretty cool app. Again, I don't think it gives me a competitive advantage at all. It's just for fun. So week one is in the books, and before we get to our studs and duds and matchups, I'm going to give you my reverse power rankings for the NFL. I'm not going to do every team or anything. I'm going to do three teams. I might have mentioned it in a chat or two yesterday. After week one, I saw that there's three teams at the bottom of the barrel, and to me, it's not close. You could argue, there's 32 teams in the NFL. I'm going to give you three of them. So you could argue the other 29 or whatever it is, or 28 teams, but to me, these are the bottom three teams in the NFL. Number 32 is going to be the New York Jets. They are the only team yesterday that did not compete in their game. They did not compete. First half, they did. The defense looked good. But the Jets, it's the same old Jets. We're the only ones that don't have our presumed starting quarterback out there. But there are experts and blah, blah, blah that thought Joe Flacco gave us a better chance to win games than Zach Wilson. Get out of here. The Jets are by far the worst team in the NFL right now, and I don't see that changing until Zach Wilson comes back. At number 31, again, I'm not doing every team. I only got two teams left. It's the Dallas Cowboys. They played terrible and did not compete, just like the Jets. And that was with Dak Prescott. Dak did get hurt. He's going to be gone 4 to 6 weeks. And of course that matters. That's part of why they're at 31. But their offensive line is trash. Zeke didn't look good. They gave him the ball a lot. CeeDee Lamb didn't look good. Dak didn't look good. It was a home game. They really played terrible. And now Dak is hurt. So they're the 31 ranked team. And then right behind them at team 30 is going to be the New England Patriots. They're another team. They really didn't compete. They look terrible. Their offense looks like they don't have an offensive coordinator. And that's the truth. They have two defensive coordinators calling plays. And then Mac Jones gets banged up. He's got a back injury. He should be okay. X-rays came back negative. But that's not how you want to start your season. In division game, getting trounced by the Dolphins. The Dolphins looked every bit better than the Patriots. The reason why I have them behind the Cowboys, meaning ahead of them, is because they have Bill Belichick, and we know what Bill Belichick is capable of doing, but this is a tough ask. The Patriots are mediocre in every sense of the word at every position. they are a bottom team. And you Patriot fans out there, you're going to see it all year long. If you want your team to win five wins, this Patriot team is for you. Now, I don't even know if the Jets are going to win five. So this is not me talking trash. This is just what I saw from week one. You know, we overreact on week one, but I didn't see anything that those three teams can do. Their seasons are likely over, and hate to be negative, but I'm a Jets fan, so it is what it is. Hopefully you enjoyed some of that advanced metric stuff and just some general talk about week one. It was a weird week. There was like no fantasy points being scored by anyone relevant in the first half of the 1 p.m. games, and then it exploded and we got down to business with some points. So without further ado, we're going to go to the studs and duds and the week one matchups. All right, well, let's get into our week one studs and duds and our matchups. Believe it or not, we are going to start with my matchup, which was versus Josh, and it just happened to be the closest matchup, so we'll call it the matchup of the week. A lot of the other matchups were decided, you know, pretty heavily one way or another, or they didn't go deep into the, slate. So we'll start off with the matchup of the week, which is going to be myself versus Josh, and Josh takes the win with a very low defensive scoring game. 86 points for Josh, 83 for me. Let's dive into the winner's team first. Let's see what went right. Let's see what went wrong. So for Josh's team, his stud is going to be Mr. Michael Pittman Jr. He is who we thought he was. 9 receptions, 121 yards, and a touchdown. Matt Ryan loves to throw to one person, and yesterday and possibly all season, it's going to be Michael Pittman Jr. He's just great. He's just a great wide receiver. You know, he's got that Mike Evans type frame where he can go up and get it, but he's still a smooth route runner where he can get himself open on some slants. So I think he got himself a bona fide wide receiver one, you know, which would be a top 12 receiver, and a beautiful draft pick by Josh, I believe, in the third round. He's going to help him all year long, and it starts week one with just a beautiful 22-point fantasy performance. When we're talking about duds, we will start off we'll talk about David Montgomery. So Dawson Knox last Thursday only got him 1 point, possibly a cause for concern. The dud of the week doesn't always mean it's going to be a player that scores the least amount of points. It's kind of more relevant to your team makeup. So I'm giving it to David Montgomery with only 6.5 fantasy points. And again, it's hard to determine everything that went on in that 49ers-Bears game. It was downpouring, torrential. Literally, the field was flooded. I'm shocked they kept playing the game, but that if there was a game to run the ball, that's the game, and he did not run efficiently. He was splitting work with Khalil Herbert. I still think he's the guy there. I don't think he lost his job or anything, but 26 yards rushing, not what you want to see. Good for 6.5 fantasy points. So not a high scoring affair for Josh. 86 points. I'm sure he's disappointed in that output. However, getting a win week one always feels really good just to start off. And this is kind of a down week for him. So he knows, you know, he kind of stole one here. And let's talk about my team, Mr. Fahrenheit. There's duds all around. So I can't point to one thing. Cole Kmet got me 0 points. But again, with that game in the rain, you know, it's possible they just had him blocking all day for the running backs. It was a run first game. Three things that stood out to me on why I lost, if I want to give excuses. That's one, Cole Kmet getting 0 points. Don't forget, I only lost by 3. So I was really just trying to scrape together 3 points and let's see where I could have gotten it. Cole Kmet getting me 0 points. That's terrible. T. Higgins leaving with a concussion in the first half of the Bengals game. In the first half, Joe Burrow, you know, had 3 interceptions, so that offense was doing nothing. T. Higgins ends with 3 fantasy points, but the Bengals offense really kicked it into high gear in the second half, and T. Higgins wasn't there to get those points. And then Nick Folk with the 1 point as a kicker, usually was, you know, he was on fire last year because the Patriots couldn't score touchdowns. They could only get into field goal range. So that's where I left a lot of points on the table. That's only 4 fantasy points between 3 players. I mean, that's terrible. I definitely should have lost. So just sucks to know. I probably, if I made one other move, I would have got the win. But either way, let's talk about my true dud is going to be Dameon Pierce, 4 fantasy points. All that hype out the window. They give him the ball on first down on the first play of the game. I guess you could call him the quote-unquote starter because he got the first carry. But give me the guy who's touching the ball, you know, 20 more times in Rex Burkhead. It's gross because Rex Burkhead is 32 years old. We're not supposed to trust running backs over the age of 30. And Lovie Smith and the Texans are saying, okay, Dameon Pierce, you're our starter, but we're going to literally feed the ball to Rex Burkhead the rest of the game. So that's going to be my dud in a zero running back build like I had where I'm super wide receiver heavy. This is not a great outcome for my team. My stud is going to be Stephon Diggs, who on that Thursday night just went absolutely bonkers. 8 receptions, 122 yards and a touchdown. He is who we thought he was, Stephon Diggs. He's the alpha number one in probably the best offense in football. And he's going to be sharing with Gabe Davis, McKenzie, blah, blah, blah. But it looked like Knox was, you know, not a factor at all. So he's really just sharing it mostly with Gabe Davis. And there's plenty to go around in a pass-first offense in the Buffalo Bills. So yeah, I had Jahan Dotson on my bench, 16.5 fantasy points. And meanwhile, on Josh's bench, Cordero Patterson had 21 fantasy points. So we both left some points on the bench, but congratulations on the week one win, Josh. I will find my way back to you and get my revenge. All right, our next matchup is going to be Alicia Unleash the Beast versus the trophy wife, Taylor Benoit. This is a in-division game. These ones do mean more, naturally. And Alicia takes the win, 131-90. So a big blowout here, 41-point win for Alicia. As I said in the draft grades, her team's going to be very strong out of the gate. I would not be surprised if she starts 4-0, 5-0, and then we'll see what happens with injuries and bye weeks. But this is right on par with, you know, what we thought. Her team is, her starters are phenomenal. And let's go through her winning squad. Her stud is going to be Patrick Mahomes, 360 yards for 5 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, who? He spread the ball around to anybody that was open, and he did it in phenomenal fashion. The Cardinals defense is absolute trash, but that's all great news for Alicia. She doesn't care about that. Got a ton of fantasy points, 34 from her quarterback. Shame on us as a fantasy community. I mean, did we think anything else was going to happen for Patrick Mahomes? Like, he's just great. This is not the Aaron Rodgers situation where his best player left and he's left with a bunch of rookies. Like, there's good players on the Chiefs. I don't know why we kind of were maybe not down on Patrick Mahomes, but we weren't drafting him where we used to. Remember, Patrick Mahomes used to go like 3rd round every year. This was more of a, you know, round 5 pickup for Alicia. So that's where she's got her value. Her dud is Devontae Smith, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver. I don't know what's going on in Philly, but it's scary for Devontae Smith because they put up, you know, a crap load of points, 38 points for the Eagles. You have AJ Brown going absolutely nuclear. I think he had 10 or 11 receptions and was just the focal point of the offense. And when he couldn't find AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts was running. So, I mean, I have Jalen Hurts as my running or quarterback, so I'm happy that he's running. But I also have Devontae Smith in other leagues, and this kid won the Heisman Trophy as a wide receiver, Devontae Smith, And this, he couldn't even get a catch. I think he had four targets, maybe three. Not a lot of them catchable. So just really weird. I think he might have had one drop, but 0 points. And Elisha still puts up 130, which you know, I believe was best in the league. So, I mean, phenomenal week by Elisha and her team. That's a quick swap if you want to. I'm not telling her how to run her team, but I mean, okay, Devontae Smith scores zero. Whatever, you know, ride the bench. I'll find someone else. Oh, by the way, she has Tyler Boyd, and I just lost T. Higgins due to concussion. So she's got a starter right there. Again, not trying to help her, but I see a clear path to just switching those, and she could score more points, which is scary. Let's go over to Taylor's team. 90 fantasy points. Not what you want to see. First of all, the league average this week for week one was 104 fantasy points scored. So that's going to be like your mean, basically. And she scored, obviously, 14 points under that with the 90. So not a good output there. And that's just how fantasy works. Josh scores under 90 and gets a win just because he happened to play against me. And that's just part of the luck of fantasy and matchups and blah, blah, blah. So Taylor scores 90 in a losing effort. Let's talk about the team. She had some good stuff. I'm going to talk about Mr. Amon-Ra St. Brown as her stud this week. 8 receptions, 64 yards, and a touchdown. He looked great. The Lions, again, in my reverse power rankings of the NFL, like the Lions, no. Are they in the Super Bowl contention? No. Did they lose yesterday? Yes, they lost. But they put up 35 points. Like, they will compete. They're not just going to lay down. They have offensive weapons, the two running backs. They have DJ Chark there, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, they're going to put up points every week and at least compete. And that's what I would love to watch one day as a Jets fan. Just, like, just go out there, put up some dang points. I mean, we scored 3 points. Sorry, I'm making this about me again. The Jets suck. But anyway, Amon-Ra St. Brown was a bright spot for her roster. And she had duds all over the place. It's hard to give it to Darnell Mooney because of that game, again, with the weather. I'm actually going to give it to Austin Eckler. 9 fantasy points, her first-round pick. Just a weird – I mean, it was a great game against the Raiders. You know, I don't understand the usage for Eckler. I think they were still using him in the red zone, but – they were running 3 running backs, Sony Michel, Joshua Kelly. I'm hoping Austin Eckler is not forgotten about out there. They should be utilizing him more as a weapon. And I think you're going to see that this week, which on a short week, they play Thursday. I think Austin Eckler is going to absolutely explode because Keenan Allen probably not going to play. And if I had to pick a player to soak up Keenan Allen-like targets, it's going to be Austin Eckler. So I think she's going to be pleasantly surprised this week with Austin Eckler's output on Thursday. Book it. So congratulations to Alicia. She starts 1-0, and Miss Trophy Wife Taylor will begin her season 0-1. All right, next up is going to be Bathroom Handjobs, Mike Corrado taking on Chris Roach, the BV Bar Wenches. This is a weird, you know, this is a low output game for Corrado, 75 points to Roach's 111. So Roach will take the win week one over Corrado, 111 to 75. Let's get into Roach's team. Puts up, you know, over league average points, so triple digits. Always welcome, and he gets the win. We're looking at, let's see here. We are looking at Justin Herbert putting on a great game, and I think we're going Jamar Chase here. He came on late. I mean, he was doing okay in the first half, but Jamar Chase goes nuclear week one. Not a surprise. 10 receptions, 129 yards, and a touchdown. Again, T. Higgins was knocked out of the game, so if there's anything above an alpha wide receiver, that's what Chase is going to be until T. Higgins comes back. They were a 1-2 punch, and now, you know, with Higgins out of the picture for a little bit, Chase was just the one man to go to for Mr. Joe Burrow. Again, like I said, Herbert had a great game with 23 fantasy points. He threw for 3 touchdowns, but the stud is going to be Ja'Marr Chase, while his dud is going to be, we're going Kyle Pitts. Tough game. I don't know if it was because of the New Orleans defense in division game, but two receptions, 19 yards, not really what you want to see from your third round pick, fourth round pick in Kyle Pitts. He's supposed to be a top tier tight end, and he's not giving you a difference at that position, scoring only 2.9 fantasy points. It's funny because if I got that 2.9 fantasy points, I would be much closer to beating Josh. So, but even still, for what Roach paid for Kyle Pitts, he's going to need more than 2.9 from Kyle Pitts. But I'm sure he'll take the win with a smile on his face. Let's go over to the losing Mike Corrado. Only 75 points, real low output here. I believe, second lowest of the league for week one, right behind Mr. Lemonade himself, Juan Torres. Let's talk about Corrado's team. Not a lot going on here as far as studs, but we will give it to Joe Mixon. 82 rushing yards. Got involved in the passing game. 7 receptions for 63 yards. So that's really good to see from Joe Mixon. Again, I think it had to do with T. Higgins not being in the game. And Joe Burrow was under duress all game. So had to get rid of the ball fast, and it was going to Joe Mixon. So a very good, a bad game for the Bengals. And Joe Mixon, who's usually game script dependent, Bengals winning for him to play well. This was a good sign for Corrado and Joe Mixon, 18 fantasy points. Duds everywhere, but no bigger dud here than Allen Robinson. One reception for 12 yards, 1 fantasy point on that Thursday night game. That's a head scratcher. You brought him in. I don't think they're paying him a ridiculous salary to come in, but I'm nervous. I know it's only week one, but I can see McVay coming out, week two or week three after being asked a million times, why isn't Robinson touching the ball? I can see him game planning to get Robinson the ball. This happened exactly the same last year with Robert Woods. If you remember, Robert Woods wasn't seeing the ball, and he was a big-time receiver before he got injured, and McVay finally came out and said, we need to make a habit of getting Robert Woods involved. And there was a day he got like 14 targets, and that could happen soon for Allen Robinson. But interested to see what Corrado does with Allen Robinson. Does he fire him back up next week? He's got some wide receiver issues because Godwin re-injured his hamstring and that he's on his bench. He's got DeAndre Hopkins. No, he doesn't. He's got Sky Moore, who didn't really put up enough points to be entered into the mix. He got Isaiah McKenzie. Maybe he throws McKenzie in instead of Robinson, or maybe he just, like I said, rolls with Robinson. We'll see what he does. This is part of fantasy. This is the best part of it. I don't just look at my team. Like, I see what you guys are doing too. And I don't own Allen Robinson in leagues. I passed on him in every one of my leagues. I'm in 6. And now I'm interested to see like what people do with these guys that they, kind of stamp their name on. Hey, I'm going after this guy. He's not performing well. What now? I like to see what people do. People do different things, and we'll see what Corrado does moving forward. But, there is a waiver wire this week, so that'll be interesting with the fab budget. We'll see how people spend their money and try to fix their squad. So good win for Mr. Chris Roach to start the year 1-0. And Corrado starts 0-1. All right, our next matchup is going to be Juan Torres. Torres Falcons taking on Juan Large Lemonade, please, Elliot Shabelli. The irony there is hilarious. I'm not sure if he changed his team name just for week one, but Juan Large Lemonade, please, taking on Torres Falcons. So fantastic team name there from Elliot. He takes the win 137-71, the second highest point output for the week in the league. For Mr. Shabelli, Officer Shabelli, Detective Shabelli, let's dive into his team. Studs all over the place. We're definitely going. I mean, Justin Jefferson, but he's always a stud. 34 fantasy points is unbelievable. But for his stud, week one, we're going Saquon Barkley because Saquon is back. So Elliott puts up 65 fantasy points
from two players in Saquon and Justin Jefferson. That'll definitely help the old stat line. But Saquon is back. He was unbelievable. He was putting up Christian McCaffrey type stuff. 30 fantasy points, 164 yards rushing, which is probably the best part about it, because I feel like Saquon's always going to be there in the passing game. They don't have much to offer there, so they're going to have to throw him the ball. But I didn't expect 164 yards rushing. He was unbelievable in this game. I'm sure Elliott has a smile on his face. Anyone who drafted Saquon is very happy right now, because the Titans were the number one seed last year. I'm not saying they're the same powerhouse team they were last year. Definitely some changes there, but they're a formidable team with coaching, good coaching, and they could not stop Saquon. That's a good sign for Elliott moving forward with Saquon Barkley. A couple duds, you know, maybe we have to be concerned about here. Amari Cooper, 3 receptions for 17 yards, good for 3 fantasy points. That Browns offense, I think I talked about it before, just absolutely putrid. They're going to win games literally because of defense, Kareem Hunt, and Nick Chubb, and that is it. I can't see another way, and Amari Cooper might be the odd man out. We'll see what Elliott does moving forward with his flex position. You know, he's got some depth on the bench, but none of them put up really big numbers. So we'll see if he keeps starting Amari Cooper, where he tries to catch lightning in a bottle. Let's move on to Juan's team, only 71 points. So this is the biggest lopsided matchup of the week. We got our, you know, second in the league in points in Elliott taking on the worst of the worst. No offense, Juan, in points, 71 fantasy points. I mean, don't feel discouraged. You're not on the field getting these fantasy points. So when I talk about your team sucking, it's not you, it's them type of thing. But duds all over the place. I'll name them. Tom Brady, the Bucks won, but he looked terrible. He just couldn't punch it into the end zone. They were kicking field goals literally all game. Najee Harris got banged up. Cam Akers, as we know, 0 fantasy points. Irv Smith Jr., tight ends, Minnesota Vikings, 0 fantasy points. Elijah Mitchell injured in this game, 4 fantasy points. So really did you no favors there. Your one bright spot is going to be Davante Adams. Looks like an absolute stud, 10 receptions for 141 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, 25 fantasy points from Davante looks like a great second-round pick for you. And I heard the news, you know, Najee got banged up but appears to be okay and trending in the right direction for week 2. So that would be a big loss for Mr. Juan, who already put up a low score. And for you to lose Elijah Mitchell for 4 to 6 weeks, 2 months, and Najee Harris, your first round pick, would be detrimental. And I would forecast that he's going to be going out to lunch with a stuffed animal at that point. So far that is the trend. And, you know, he's trending that way. Let's see if he can turn it around, make some moves. But Juan will start 0-1, and Mr. Elliott will start 1-0. All right, our next matchup is going to be ChristianMingle.com. Gage taking on Jason Kelly. Excuse me, Yeeter Skeeters, 125-81. Jason takes the lopsided victory. So let's talk about Jason's team, 125 points. Great output there, well above league average as far as scoring goes. When you put up 125, you're usually going to take the win, and he does at this point in time. He's got studs all over the place. You know, Josh Allen got him off to a great start with 31 fantasy points on Thursday, but I'm going to go somewhere else for his stud. I'm going Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 20 fantasy points from his flex position. The Chiefs look great. Clyde was a big part of their game plan, 2 receiving touchdowns, you know, only 42 yards rushing, but they really didn't need him in the second half of the game. They're up so much. So any Clyde Edwards-Helaire owners out there in other leagues, this is something to be very happy about. He's clearly the guy, the starter. Is he sharing the workload? Yes, most running backs do, but he's clearly the go-to guy as far as the red zone goes, so that's great to see. If I had to pick a dud, excuse me, I'd probably go Derrick Henry. 8.2 fantasy points on 82 yards rushing, uninvolved in the passing game. It wasn't like the Titans got blown out. They were actually going back and forth with the Giants, so it's not like they abandoned the run. So we could see a lot more of this Derrick Henry as opposed to last year. You know, with A.J. Brown not in the mix there anymore, you don't have to game plan for a top-notch receiver. So it's really just stop Derrick Henry, and that's how you stop the Titans, and that's what worked here. So interesting to see what happens moving forward, Derrick Henry. Excuse me, that's COVID Cliff coming out. Moving on to Gage's team, duds all over the place. Talk about Dak Prescott. Of course, he was injured late in the fourth quarter, but man, he looked like absolute garbage the first three quarters of that game. You know, putting up 4 fantasy points as a quarterback, not going to get it done. Now he's out 4 to 6 weeks, probably more. So we'll see how Gage reacts to that from the waiver wire. If he had a lone bright spot, I'd say it was Nick Chubb, 141 yards rushing. He's the sole reason, him and Kareem Hunt, on how the Browns won that revenge game with Baker Mayfield. That offense looks disgusting, the Browns, and somehow Baker and the Panthers couldn't get it done at home. It's just embarrassing. The revenge games were very embarrassing. Joe Flacco got laughed out of his home field going against the Ravens, you know, put up no points on offense. And then you got last night as well, you know, Russ getting beat by the Seahawks in Seattle. Fans there were going crazy. So not a good week for the revenge games. And it showed here, you know, talking about Dak Prescott, 4 fantasy points from that quarterback position in fantasy. Sucks, not going to get it done. But yeah, Nick Chubb was a lone bright spot for Gage's team. We'll see if he can bounce back from this. And I think those power rankings that I talked about earlier in the episode have a lot to do with him losing Dak, and we'll see if he can replace him with someone formidable. But I think he's going to be scouring that waiver wire each and every week and playing matchups. So congratulations to Jason starting again, 1-0. He's one of those teams I said, watch out for Jason starting hot in the draft grade episode. I said he could start 4-1, 5-1. We'll see how he handles injuries and bye weeks. He did not handle that great last year, so that's why he was more of a bubble team for me as far as a playoff contender. And that's literally how the power rankings have him, just on the outside looking in at that 7th spot. So we'll see if Jason will do a better job managing his team this year. But can't complain with this start. 1-0 and 0-1 for Mr. Gage. All right, without further ado, our final matchup is going to be Pillar of Fire, Tom Beggs, taking on Mr. Joe Chick, the Book of Samuel, our two newest members of the league, facing head-to-head, and it was a shootout, 140 to 112. Tom takes the win. A lot to talk about with his team, the number one team in our league in the power rankings and scoring. DeAndre Swift, man, looks fantastic. If Jamal Williams didn't exist, DeAndre Swift would be the number one fantasy football player in the world right now, maybe for the rest of the season, because he went off 144 yards rushing and a touchdown, adding another 31 in the air. But Jamal Williams siphoned, you know, 2 goal line touchdowns. He's definitely the goal line guy. The Lions love Jamal Williams. He's, you know, in real life, he is a good football player, good teammate, and obviously has a positive attitude. If you watched Hard Knocks or seen clips of him, he's an easy guy to root for. So I am happy in that aspect. You know, in real life football, it's good to see Jamal Williams be relevant and get his share of the workload. But for fantasy purposes, I'm sure Tom really wishes Jamal Williams would go away. But nonetheless, Swift puts up 25 fantasy points. As far as a, you know, and obviously Cooper Kupp, 25 fantasy points could have been his stud, but that's just too easy. So I went a little outside the box with Swift there. Let's talk about his dud, Mike Williams. I don't know what happened there. This was the perfect formula. If you're a Mike Williams owner, if you drafted Mike Williams, it couldn't have, the script couldn't have been any better. You already kind of drafted him because you probably thought he's better than, you know, he's got at least more upside than Keenan Allen. And what happens? Keenan Allen goes down with injury, hamstring in the, you know, first quarter, beginning of second quarter, the rest of the game in a somewhat of a, you know, pass happy game against the Las Vegas Raiders. You think, ah, Mike Williams time. And all he did was get two fantasy points, two receptions, 10 yards on four targets. So now, to be fair, the Chargers didn't know that they were going to be without Keenan Allen. So maybe it's easier for the defense to shift over to Mike Williams, double cover him. He's not the most elite route runner in the world. He's a high point guy. He'll go up and get it. And those opportunities were not there. I'm a Mike Williams owner in other leagues, and I'm kind of nervous, but we'll see what happens moving forward. Obviously, Tom didn't need him to do much. He still put up 140 fantasy points, while his wide receiver two only had two fantasy points. He had other studs like Michael Thomas, who put up two touchdowns. Great faith, great start in Michael Thomas, who was supposed to be on a snap count anyway, but Tom said, screw it, I'm starting him, and he did, and he got him 20 fantasy points from that flex position. Breece Hall was on his bench. Great, great non-start there. So as we can see, Tom is a good fantasy player. And you can see that in his roster construction. His bench, I mean, he's got points coming all over the place on his bench, ready to go if he needs them. So I can definitely understand why the power rankings have Tom as the number one team in the league. Moving on to the Book of Samuel, Joe Chick. I mean, this is a good outing, 112 points above league average. I'd be ecstatic. I mean, I scored 83 and I lost. Josh scored 86 and won. I'm sure he'd be very happy with 112 points. So nothing to shake a stick at there. Mr. Joe Chick, great day. Just, you know, again, you went up against the top team in the league. Unfortunately, that's fantasy football. It's pretty impressive for Joe Burrow to put up 18 fantasy points from his quarterback position after throwing four interceptions. That's where, you know, Gage is punching the air. Dak did not play well, but he also didn't throw four interceptions, and Gage only gets four fantasy points from Dak, while somehow Joe Burrow gets 18 with four interceptions. I mean, that's giving up 8 points worth of interceptions and, you know, fantasy value. But nonetheless, let's go on to his stud. It's going to be AJ Brown. Again, top dog, alpha wide receiver, 10 receptions, 155 yards, no touchdown, and he still got 20 fantasy points. That's really hard to do unless your name is like, you know, Christian McCaffrey. So scoring 20 fantasy points without a touchdown, super difficult, but he got it done here to give himself. Now listen, even though you lost, you're 0-1, it's very important to score fantasy points because at the end of the day, you know, we have three divisions. If you win your division, you're automatically in the playoffs. And then after that, after those three teams out of the three divisions are picked to go to the playoffs, it goes by points. So points are very important. Score points, even in losing efforts. Again, we're not controlling these players, but we are making our start sits. So we're not actually out on the field. That would be terrible to watch. But like I said, you can hold your head up high on this one. 112 points is really good. And as far as your dud goes, I'm going to give it to Adam Thielen. Weird game plan for the Vikings. They get the job done and beat down the Packers at home. And it was just the Justin Jefferson show. Much like Devontae Smith just being uninvolved for the Eagles, everything was going to A.J. Brown. A lot of the same for Adam Thielen. Everything was going to Justin Jefferson for the Vikings. So it's going to be weird to see. I think the Vikings are going to try to do two things. Win the North and go to the playoffs. And I think they're going to try to get Justin Jefferson to 2,000 receiving yards, which has never been done before. If you remember, Calvin Johnson came real close, 1,964 yards or something like that. Obviously, Cooper Kupp was up there last year. But I think, if possible, they'd like to win their division and get Justin Jefferson to 2,000 yards receiving, which he's on pace. I actually did the math yesterday. He's on pace for 3,100 and, like 82 yards or something like that. It's real close to 3,000 yards. Obviously, he's not going to keep that pace up. But I think they're going to go for it, man. And Adam Thielen could be the odd man out. So we'll see what Joe Chick does moving forward. He's got some players on his bench ready to get inserted into the lineup, possibly for week two. So like I said before, this is where it's fun to see what people do. And, you know, making roster moves. Week one is always fun to overreact to. And it's just 1 week. If all this stuff happened, week seven, we'd think nothing of it. But since it's week one, it's like, oh, no, I was completely wrong on Mike Williams. It's like, you know, just step back, take a breath. Take a breath if you can, if you don't have COVID and your lungs are shot like mine right now. But take a breath and we'll see what these players actually do throughout the entire season. Don't forget, so Joe takes the loss there, starts 0-1. Congratulations to Tom, takes the win, starts 1-0. Before we leave today, don't forget, waiver wire tonight. If you have any questions on that fab budget, please hit me up in the chat or you can send me a side text if you're not sure how it works, but pretty straightforward. I think I explained it. Again, if you need help, I'm not going to help run your team, but I will certainly make sure you know how it functions. I don't want anybody at a disadvantage. It's always a little weird week one of a new waiver system to see what people spend and don't spend. And most of the time with these waiver budgets, you notice first time players with the system, they're super nervous to spend money. So we'll see. I mean, it's your budget for the whole year, $200. So spend it wisely. And I can't wait to see what happens in week two. Thanks for joining in. This is how most of these podcasts are going to go. I'm going to keep them right around 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Talk about some players on each of your teams, power rankings, and that's it. So once a week, expect a podcast unless something comes up. Obviously, I'm a busy man, but not busy enough for fantasy football. Let me tell you that. So other than that, we will see you guys in week two. Good luck on the waiver wire, and we'll talk to you later.